Hello everybody, it's Monday night. It's the Jeremiah Tree broadcast again from Birmingham, and tonight we've got a special guest. He's just had a camera shot, and if you've got a wayward kid, this guy's got to bring for you, it'll be gold for you tonight. It's a great he's got a great story. Mandy.
I'm just going to wait a little while because I can see there's nobody actually here at the moment. So,
oh, really?
So we'll wait a little while until... Yes. But just Dave's got a song that he's going to do, and he just said to me, are you going to join him? But since he wrote it, he's changed the words.
Have I?
Yes.
Well, I'd change a couple of them, yeah. Okay. You know...
Hello. I know there's people joining us now. Dave just introduced the fact that we've got a guest today.
And, we have, yes.
So we're going to reveal him in a moment. You've never met him. We haven't seen him for ages, so everybody who comes round...
He's over there, look, hello, Michael.
We're going, who's that man? We haven't seen him for a long time, but anybody who comes by our house, we get drag him in and say, that's come right. On Monday.
That's right, don't get calling round here on a Monday night, otherwise you'll be on TV, so... There's a day called today. It's a day like no other. It's a time of great change, and there's nowhere to hide. Don't even think for a moment you can turn back the hands of the dial. Nobody's seen day. Nobody's been this way. Now there's a day called today, and the past has no part left to play. Today, and you know, there's big things happening in the world, and things are being shaken up like boy, like never before. And I read a Bible scripture that says, it's in Amos, and it says that God does nothing without telling his prophets. That's what it means. Anyway, it doesn't say quite like that, but you know. It's quite a famous phrase. God does nothing without telling his prophets.
It's not that he's trying to keep things secret. He wants to tell us what he wants to do. And also, before he moves, he wants people to speak out mm-hmm. what he's going to do. Like, words are the currency of the kingdom.
Yeah,
and
right,
so
yeah.
As he tells us and we speak it out, then it opens up the way for heaven to move on earth.
That's right. When we
so a couple of people like your song.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I've got to just develop that a little bit more, but that's the way it'll be going, that little tune, A Day Called Today.
So I just wanted to relate to the song because Julie and I went to a conference last week in Glasgow, and it was a prophetic conference. And I really haven't had a chance to just sit and assimilate a lot of what we received over that couple of days that we were there. But the one thing that really stuck out to me when I heard it was one of the teachers, Emma Stark, well, a prophet actually, said that the Lord had shown her about sell-by dates on food. And she said, you know, sometimes if you're like me, you'll go to the fridge and something will say, I don't know, the 14th of February and it's the 17th. And you have a sniff and you think, oh, it smells all right. So you use it and it's okay. But then there's other things. I know specifically I've had strawberries and it says the date and I've put a strawberry in my mouth and it's gone bad. And she was just saying, the Lord kind of impressed upon her heart that there are some things in our lives, in this next era, in this season, that when they finish, when God says end, there won't be a transition time. It will have been fit for duty and fit for purpose for the time that we've used it. But there's coming a day that that thing will end in its usefulness. And then after that time, it won't be useful. It will be like the manna. It will be sour. It won't be good for you. And I think maybe some church services will be like that. They've been fit for purpose. But God's going to do something that makes what we've been doing just not really right for the time. Mm-hmm. So I think God's just wanting us to be sort of open to something new.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, well, just a couple of announcements. The most important announcement is that Mandy's going to go away from next week until April the 10th, is it?
I think so.
She's not quite sure of how long, but so I'll be on my own. Well, I won't be on my own. There'll be people popping by and helping me out. So please help me out. No, but Mandy won't be with us for the next few weeks. We will have David Woodfield. I see on March the 11th. We've got Dave Woodfield coming, and other weeks we're going to have other people. But
we know not who.
We know not who, and we won't hear the lovely tones of Mandy warbling to us on a Monday night. Not for a month.
So I'm asking you to pray for my husband for a miracle, because he's going to have to cook for himself. He's going to have to clean the house. He's going to have to do his own ironing.
Send few food parcels to Northville, Birmingham.
And we've got our friend Mike come along, because Mike used to be in the Navy, so he can iron his own shirts and he can cook his own dinner. So I've asked him to come and give my husband a few lessons. Mike, say hello to the people, Mike.
Good to see you, Mike. Yes.
Now, we know Mike because when we ran Church on the Hill, it was a little building on a main road, and Mike turned up one day and he says the Lord sent him along to come and join our congregation. So do you want to tell him a bit about who you are, Mike?
Yeah, I'm Mike, as you just said. I'm married to Audrey, and we've been married 59 years. We have three sons, a daughter, and 10 grandchildren, one great-grandchild. And later on, I want to just share with you about our eldest son, who left home at a very tender age of 16 and thought he was going to take the world on, and went to the Isle of Wight. And from there, it worked out not very well for him.
He ended up in trouble, and then you went to court.
Tell his story.
Just move into it.
Before Mike starts, Mike's got fantastic stories, but this is the one that really impressed Dave. The first time we heard it was really such a moving story. We wanted Mike to tell you about it. So tell us about yourself.
He went over to Isle of Wight and he fell into trouble, and he went to Winchester Jail. Put him in jail. We went down and got him, when we met him and went down and visited him, got him out. He'd been stealing, and he was living in a shed. So got him out of Winchester, fitted him out with everything, went back to the Isle of Wight and took him back and gave him money and everything, got him a place to live and all that. But he wasn't satisfied with that. He had to re-offend. And re-offend he did. And of course the local justice of the peace or whoever they are, he couldn't give him a big enough sentence, so he had to go to the Crown Court at the Isle of Wight. And in the meantime, after we found out that he'd got to go there, I went and fetched him back to Birmingham. And he said we would go with him. And he said, no, I don't want nobody with me, but you can come down. I said, well, I'll come with you. And so we rigged him out on the day.
What do you mean, rigged him out? Bought him clothes?
Clothes, yeah, rigged him out. And I gave him a leather jacket that I had, really a beautiful leather jacket, which was mine, but I gave it to him.
So he looked like a decent young man.
Although he looked nothing like his father, he looked like a decent young man. So that was that. And as we got to Portsmouth and to catch the ferry to the Isle of Wight, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to set him free. And so
Was that likely that you would be set free?
No.
What did you say to him? You said something to him, didn't you?
He said, you mustn't get return tickets. I won't be coming back. I said, yes, you can. I'll get the return tickets on the ferry because God has said he set you free. And it being an unchristian, or even a Christian, he laughed all over his face and said, you don't understand that. And I said, well, Mike, I'm sorry, Charlie, but you don't understand. If God said he's going to set you free, you'll be free indeed. But don't ask me how, why or where, we'll just get on. So we eventually got to the court and met the barrister and had a chat and so on and so forth. And then we were going to have the case come up and they adjourned it until the afternoon. So we went back out and got a burger and chips, if I can remember rightly, and sat down there. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I'm going to put the words in your mouth. Well, I don't know about all of you listening to this, but I didn't quite understand that. But nevertheless, we got into the court and the barrister made his usual, you know how they are in court, they make their usual thing. My lord, this tender young man, this loving man has come into here, but he comes from a wonderful family and so on and so forth. And his father, his Christian father, sat here today in court. And the judge said, wait a moment, are you in court? I said, yes, sir. He said, would you like to say something? Which is absolutely impossible in a Crown Court in Britain.
Everything goes through the barrister.
Everything goes through the barrister.
Right, yeah.
So I said, well, to be honest with you, these young people, they come to the different seaside places in Britain. They think they're going to make millions of pounds. They end up being nothing but a load of trouble, absolutely load of trouble to where they are. Like he's been a load of trouble in Sandown on the Isle of Wight. And he's broke his mother's heart. He's broke me mentally, physically and spiritually half the time, but mostly financially. Quite frankly, if it was anything to do with me, sir, I'd give him 20 years and get rid of him and get him out of the way, out of our way, out of your way and out of everybody else's way. But if you give him over to me, the Isle of Wight will never, ever see him again because, you see, we love him. Mm. And that was all I had to say. I sat down and the judge said, well, I've heard what you've said. You're a complete waste of time. You're useless. You don't do this, you don't do that. You've been a burden to everybody here, a burden to your parents, but I've listened to your father. And my son said, when the two prison officers come in, he would pass me my jacket because he didn't want to take it to prison. He said, no, I'll go to prison. I said, well, the Lord has said he set you free. So when they came in, he took his jacket off and passed it to me because I was sat behind there. And the judge said, right, stand up now. You are going to jail for 2 years, but I'm suspending it. And I don't ever want to see your face again. And the costs, the clerk of the court said, cost, my lord. Said, I'll pay the cost, sir. Yes, he said, Dad pays again, doesn't he? You're a terrible young man. You want to pull your socks up and get out of here. Now, all the moral to the story is very simple, really. God can deliver anything. But he came over home and he wasn't satisfied. He actually went into the big prison, Winston Green. And God spoke to me once again and he said, when he comes out, he'll be mine. And sure enough, when I first went to see him, he was complaining how he shouldn't be there and they're all a shower of terrible people. Then the next time I went to see him, the following fortnight, he said he'd got a job in the prison officer's kitchen, really good. The following fortnight, he said, I really do deserve to be here. I'm not a good man. And the fourth time, which is just over a month, he said, do you know, I do believe in Jesus. And I'm trying to tell the prisoners about him.
So he became an evangelist.
And then, don't ask me, but he came out and that was it. He married, he has three children, his daughter runs a church for the ladies and everything in Torquay. His other son and his wife run an inner city church, and his other son worships three times, twice a day on Sunday, and that he's a single man. The moral to the story is, what's impossible for men is possible for God. I just want to encourage you to never give up on them, but just keep loving them. Just keep loving them, yeah, as Jesus loves us. Amen.
What a great story.
Amen. Well,
what a great story. That's, I mean, when you said true. That, you so, led the jacket. I remember you saying,
I didn't want that to go to jail anyway, the leather jacket. Really good, you know, that they used to have some from Spain and Italy and everything in those days, didn't they?
Yes.
It was a number of years ago now. So the end of the story is God has added them all to the family.
It's great,
What was absolutely impossible, impossible.
Before we start the session, we always have a prayer time, and the thing that I was impressed with, that God doesn't just deal with individuals, he deals with families. They're saying that's a fantastic story. Yeah, it's lovely. It's, you know, it is a really fantastic story. But it isn't just a story. That God does have a long plan, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He sees the long game.
Yeah.
He doesn't just work with us in the now. He can see ahead where we're going.
Well, Dave Manley, I was absolutely astounded. You can imagine all. And the barrister, God bless him, afterwards he said, I've never seen nothing like that. And I said, my friend, neither have I. Neither have I. He said, it's really impressed me. So let's hope that the barrister eventually got saved. Yeah.
Well, you know what impresses me? Your faithfulness, because God did that great thing for Michael. And then he went and ended up in prison again.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that's what often, you know, when you work with people, they come to know the Lord, they don't get completely set free of stuff. Yeah. And then they go back to, like a dog to its vomit. Yeah. And you know, as a person, you can be really give up on people.
Terrible. No, we've never give up on.
No.
I've not give up on a lot of people outside of my family either. You just keep loving and praying for them. You can't do no more, can you? You can't draw out of them and everything, but it was something that has impressed me. I think I've been married about 38 years now, and that it impressed me to this very day. You never forgot. The Bible says, learn from Israel's history. I'm sure all those Israelis never forgot when he released them from all the places that they did, and I've never forgot. And it doesn't matter if I never ever had read the Bible or never did anything again, that particular story will stop with me until the day I go home.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
We need to rehearse our testimonies. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't forget things like that, but to repeat them, it has impact, you know, from generation to generation. We pass on
stories. I only want to encourage anybody that listens to that to not give up on their children or their uncle, their auntie, their mum, their dad, their cousins, whoever it might be. Brothers, sisters, there's a way through, but God, through Jesus Christ, God's got the way through for everybody.
So Mike, tell people your story.
My story?
Did you grow up in a Christian home? And
No. I was a thief, a very good thief. I never got caught. I smashed up five cars. I drank. Well, I used to go out, they used to call it going out with Johnny and Gordon, which was Gordon's gin and Johnny Walker whiskey. I was an absolute raving alcoholic. Don't misunderstand me. I never beat my wife or my children, and I never drank at Christmas. But I was brought up in a household where there were three sons, four sons, and they all drank. And I never drank when we went and took the children on holiday. But apart from that, I was very, very badly into drugs, gambling. You name it, I was into it. I'm not going to name it all on here. Well, I'm just telling you.
We've got the picture.
Yeah, you've got the picture. And one day, God spoke to me. I was working at Cadbury's in Bourneville, where they make the chocolate. I ran the restaurant for them on the evening shift and the night shift. And God spoke to me and he said, read the Bible. And I turned around to fight whoever said it, and there was nobody there.
But you heard the audible voice of God before you became a Christian?
Yeah.
I mean, that sort of makes you go, wow, doesn't it?
Well, it did me. I didn't know where I was, but there was a man who came in the corner of the restaurant, always late. So I saved, always used to save him a dinner because he was late. And I said, well, you never believed it. He used to sit in the corner reading his Bible. And I said, I've got to read the Bible. Now, everybody said after I was saved, I was the last person that you would have ever thought become a Christian, the last person I knew. But he gave me his Bible. I said to him, you're a Bible punch, aren't you? And he said, if you want to call me that, yeah. But here's the Bible, read it. And I took it home and I went to bed. And it was the only night's sleep that I can remember in my lifetime that I held this Bible and I had the peace that surpassed all understanding. I went off to sleep as if everything seemed to be took off my shoulders. Mm. But I went to work with this man afterwards, and he told me all about Jesus. And he said, you know, if God, died and you went up, why should God let you in heaven? I said, he please himself. I don't care if he does or not. And then he said something that really touched me. He said, if you were going up the M6 to London and you wanted to go to Leeds, what would you do? I said, I'd do an about turn. He said, that's what Jesus is saying to you today. Do the about turn, repent of your sin, and he'll come into your life and he'll change your life for the better. Well, I went downstairs to a toilet and I sat down and I said, Lord, I don't know this man, but this is what he said. And he, if it's true, you take my life. Do whatever you like with it. And they tell me you'll change me for the better. And from that day to this, I've never had a glass of alcohol. I haven't had no drugs. Don't ask me why it was me. I've asked him many, many times, why me? Why me? Why not my brothers? Why not this? But no drugs, no alcohol, no nothing, a completely changed man. I was that changed that my wife had a little meeting with our four children and said, your father has finally flipped.
So she thought that the alcohol had made the you
alcohol
hallucinate.
Had turned addled my brain. But she came to church with me eventually and she got saved. I got baptised in the Holy Spirit. She got baptised in water with me, and she got baptised in the Holy Spirit, and the rest is just history.
It's fantastic, Mark, fantastic.
God bless you all.
Yeah.
God bless everybody. God bless everybody. He's safe to trust. You can trust him with anything.
Yeah.
You can trust him with anything at all. The family, put them at the bottom of the... Say, Lord, I can't cope with them. Friends, whoever might listen to this, I can't cope with nothing. But Jesus copes for me. Through Jesus Christ, you can cope with everything. But only through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus.
So you hear that Mike talks to God like he's a person. That first day, before he even knew Jesus, he was saying to him, if this man's right, if it's true, then take my life. And that's really how we need to come to God, just... like childlike, just believing, just stepping out and expecting that something's going to happen. Sorry, you were going to say something.
No, that's okay. That's great what you brought to Psalm 51 in there, something in verse 6, I think it says that God desires truth in the inner places, and God desires us to be true to with ourselves and with other people and with God, and he wants the real us. And we need to know who we really are to ourselves, and not to play games to ourselves, and definitely not play games to God, because that's a losing game.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because God knows us. God knows us. And the psalmist says, God desires truth in the inner place. Right. He wants you to be true, to speak truth to yourself.
Mm.
If you find yourself speaking things which are questionable, stop it. And God wants you to be straight with him.
I think as well, the other thing that impresses me is that when Mike spoke to the Lord, he meant it And immediately he had a deliverance of alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's quite a story, drugs, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, drugs, alcohol, you were a gambler. And that stopped as well, a thief.
Oh, just breaking everywhere.
So it was a complete turnaround, wasn't it?
I don't want to upset him, but I was quite poorly for about 6 weeks with the withdrawal of all that.
Yeah.
I don't mean...
So we didn't have a supernatural detox. It was a real detox.
Yeah, you
made a choice.
Oh, yeah, I made the choice.
Just...
Never look back.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Just looking forward. We'll all be with him one day, won't we? All of it wiped away. How lovely.
Mike's got a real ministry of just talking to people. You can see how easy he is with people. Mm. After he retired, he went to work at a supermarket, Morrison's, to take the trolleys back so he could speak to all the people on the car park.
Yeah.
And I know we've had people in our church who've been alcoholics, and Mike spent a lot of time just ministering to people who've got that kind of issue, because he knows that God can set you free, don't you?
Yeah, he can. Yeah. He can. Yeah. And he wants to. That's the thing. He wants to, Andy, yeah. He wants to set us all free.
Mike, that's absolutely fabulous, those stories. You've just brought them alive again. I've heard them before, but it was like I heard them for the... I heard some facts there I hadn't heard before. I just, as you were saying, I remembered that you told me something about when you first got saved, you were broke or something, and a knock come to the door, and the guy said, I'm the insurance man. You said, well, I've got no money
for
you. That's
quite correct. I said, yeah, no, I'll put like you on the list, mate. Yeah. I'm absolutely skinned.
Yeah.
He said, no, actually, we owe you some money.
Yeah,
you
were, and it was
£1,000.
Yeah.
It's a long while ago, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he said, how do you want it? A cheque, or I said, no, I'll have the cash. You'll have to bring me the cash, because if I put a cheque into the bank, they'll have it. I owe them that much money. I owed about £30,000 through the alcohol and everything to the bank and to different people. I don't mean individuals, I'm talking about companies. I never had money off individuals. But and I've got to be honest with you, the first thing I did when he brought it to me, I went into the kitchen, my dear wife Audrey was at work, and I said, Lord, who shall I give it to? And he said, it's for you, and from this day forward, I will prosper you in every aspect of your life. And he has.
Yeah.
And he has.
Praise
that's
God.
Amazing.
And he has.
Well, that's, what a great
it's
start.
It's still, as you can see now, it still brings tears to my eyes.
I just...
Because to be saved like that, from all that, you know, I mean, being next seaman, you can imagine if you were in Antarctica and you were in there for a long, long time and somebody come along and took you out and saved you, and you'd be forever grateful. Mm. Well, likewise with Jesus Christ, the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, I'm forever grateful.
Yeah, and it's better than coming out of Antarctica. Mike, will you just pray for anybody who's got a wayward child or grandchildren or who's got alcohol issues or addictions?
Lord, you walk this earth and you know all about everybody. You know every hair counted on their head. Mm. And you know how awful it is to live with people who've got hang-ups for alcohol, and sexual hang-ups, gambling, drugs, everything, pornography, the whole situation. You know all about that in this day and age. You've always known all about it. You walked without any sin. So, Lord, whoever comes to you, when the sun sets free, will be free indeed. Mm-hmm. Father, you can set all of them free. If they can have the situation where someone talks to them, send people to them, or you appear yourself, Lord, I don't mean physically, you speak to them and you take them out of the gutter and you stand them the right way up, Lord. Mm-hmm. I pray for any of the families, any of the people who are listening to this, that they can come to know Jesus Christ in a real way, not a religious, silly way, the real way, a personal encounter in the spirit, and a personal relationship where you're reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing, and you don't have to give up anything. You don't have to give up going to the theatre. You don't have to give up going to the pub. I go to the pub for meals and I have a Coca-Cola, and I'm far safer because I can drive home all right, and so on and so forth. And you don't have to give anything up. and Jesus Christ will add every blessing in Jesus Christ to you.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Isn't that brilliant? Doesn't that just underline how the Lord deals with us as individuals, and how he dealt with Mike? I've never heard that quite that same kind of thing with anybody else. And that's because God deals with us all where we're at. He knows what button to press. He knows how to deal with us all as individuals. And thanks, Mike, for bringing that.
The people know that everything isn't today. That doesn't mean you don't have any trouble when you come to Jesus. You have all kinds of things, just like anybody else. But he's there. He never leaves you or forsakes you. And he helps you over the hurdle, through the hurdle. He'll go before you or walk with you in every situation.
He's the one who can always help, isn't he? Yeah. And those things just reinforce it. Yeah. Well, we might see Mike again. We don't know. But we're really grateful that he came today. So we'll see. Yeah. Well, we won't. So Dave will see you next week.
Say cheerio to people.
See you for a while.
Mandy's going.
As soon as I get
some people, what are you doing?
I feel like the Lord is just saying to come away for a while. I need to just recalibrate and find out what on earth we're doing. So I'll let you know whatever he tells me that I can share. I'll let you know when I'm back.
God does nothing without telling his prophets. And Mandy's going to see what God has got to say. So thanks everyone for joining us tonight. And this is the Jeremiah Tree signing off for another week. Thanks, Mike. Come and see us again sometime. And to everybody there, we wish you all God's blessings.